Well, hello everybody and welcome back. This is our daily devotional for Thursday, April the 11th, 2024. Now, April 11th is a big day in the Malfrus household there because April 11th happens to be my father, Philip Malfrus's birthday. That's right, April 11th. I'm not going to tell you what year it was. I'm not going to tell you how old he is, but when I'm 75 years old, it is my prayer that I would be a tenth, a quarter of the man that he is. And so I have been blessed tremendously with a loving father and mother. The Lord has been so gracious. And it is my prayer. I'll talk to Dad a little bit later. This is going to come out at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm not going to call him then, but I'll talk to him a little bit later in the day. Nevertheless, welcome everyone. I'm glad to have this time with you. And I'm glad as we continue along the way in the book of Genesis. Now, admittedly, we have been going rather slow. We did verse 1, and then we did verse 2. But today that changes. We're taking a large piece of Genesis today, the creation narrative. Now, you might say, oh, everybody knows that. There is application here, powerful application. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll dig in. Our God and our Father, we thank you for this time that you have given to us and we pray that you would bless us in it. Help us to remember that your word is a gift. Help us to remember that your word is trustworthy. Help us and convict us of the fact that your word is true. That what we read today isn't a fable, it isn't folklore, despite what the world has concluded and despite the disaster that has befallen the world as a result. Please let us trust in you instead. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so all along since we started, the last 2 days since we started Genesis, I've talked about how there is a total onslaught against the book of Genesis in order to render it fable, folklore, fairy tale, literary device, doesn't matter what terminology you want to use, there's an onslaught from the world to render Genesis untrue. And there are many, many, many ways that we can see this happening, culturally, socially speaking. However, the chief of these is something that happened a long time ago, and it's a foregone conclusion at this point, right? And it's evolutionary creation. The idea that God didn't create, but instead that the earth came about as a result of expansion or the Big Bang, and it's billions upon billions of years of existence until we get the first man. And you know, y'all, extremely problematic. We're going to talk about the implications of this more as we go along. But that's a foregone conclusion in the world, so much so that if you deny this, they treat you the same as if you're a flat earther. You know what a flat earther is? Somebody who doesn't believe the world is round. People don't believe in gravity. I mean, you know, and it's a ludicrous, ludicrous thing to loop people in together because they treat Darwinistic evolution as a proven factual science, when in fact it's not. In the slightest bit, the scientific method is completely and totally violated through embracing the entirety of Darwinistic evolution because it's never been observed. And don't tell me microevolution. Yes, microevolution definitely is a real thing, but there's a difference between frogs in one part of the world developing different characteristics than frogs in other parts of the world and a frog turning into a golden retriever, okay? Or a monkey turning into a human being, right? The overall implication of this is multifaceted. Again, we're going to dig into this as we go along, though I'm not sure how in-depth we're going to dig in yet. Instead, we should take the Bible for what it says. We should take the Bible to be true. We should accept it. And there's all sorts of questions that come with, you know, well, then why do they have these tests? First off, the test that they use, carbon-14, is notoriously inaccurate, okay, and untrustworthy. But aside from that, there's a very simple explanation, too, for why the world looks the way it does, what we find out there. One is that God would have created the earth with the appearance of age, as we're about to read, when he created trees and vegetation. Did they look like they were 1 minute old after he spoke them into existence? No, of course not. They were trees, right? But then also, we cannot discount the effect of a worldwide flood. I don't have time to get into all of this stuff, but take the Mount St. Helens explosion. I think it was 83. Can't remember exactly. Anyway, take the Mount St. Helens explosion, volcanic eruption out west, right? When you look at what that volcano did in a matter of minutes, scientists would go later and say, well, this is the kind of stuff that takes billions of years to develop. It took a few minutes. Imagine the catastrophe that a worldwide flood would be, which we know, of course, happened, and how much the worldwide flood would have changed the very face of the earth. That's why they're finding fish fossils on the tops of mountains, okay? There is an answer in God's word for everything. But it's this have your cake and eat it too approach that really, really undercuts the value and the trustworthiness, the validity of God's word. And so here, there's terminology for it. I'm a six-day creationist, unapologetically so. That is the conviction of my heart. I think that is overwhelmingly the message of God's word. That being said, and I know I'm spending a lot of time on this, but this is important. There are those that hold to different theories, right? There are those that hold to something called the framework hypothesis, right? Where they believe that the different days that we're about to read symbolize long periods of time, okay? There's the day-age theory where, the Hebrew word used here is yom, and they say, well, it can mean a day or it can mean an age, right? And I'm not going to get into that stuff because I know many, many followers of Christ who know and love the Lord and are committed to Him, and that's what they hold. They are framework, we call them framework guys. They're framework individuals, and they believe that God used evolution to create, but there are certain things that you can't get rid of. There are certain non-negotiables. I think death before Adam sinned is one of those non-negotiables. You can't have death before Adam sinned because the wages of sin is death. But aside from that, you see all this imagery about what heaven's supposed to be, how the lion will lay down with the lamb, and you get this return to the garden dynamic there, that if there's death before Adam sinned, then what gives with that? Again, it's complicated. I don't want to confuse you. I don't want to go into too much right now, but that's an important reality. Another line that we cannot cross is denying the historical Adam and Eve. Now, take my own denomination, for instance. There are different views amongst our ministers, right? I don't think that there should be, but nevertheless, there are different views amongst our ministers. However, one of our position statements as a denomination is that we affirm the historical Adam and Eve. In other words, it's not fable, right? They were not humanoid. We believe that Adam and Eve had souls, all of these different things, right? And I kind of talked about this a couple of days ago. One of the reasons that Genesis is just attacked and attacked and attacked is because if you don't have the first Adam, then you don't need the second Adam, which is Jesus. If you don't have sin entering the world through one man, namely our first father, Adam, then you don't need sin to be dealt with by Jesus, the God-man, okay? Adam and Eve are non-negotiables. You've got to affirm that. Outside of that, there is some latitude and we need to be gracious. But nevertheless, I've given way too much introduction. We're 8 minutes and 53 seconds in. Let's read. We've already prayed. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Time out, pausing for just a second. The reason why we affirm the traditional understanding of day, and yes, I'm using the royal we, the reason why I affirm the traditional understanding of day as we understand it, two reasons. That's how they would have understood it, who received this and who read it, but also this business of evening and morning. I agree, there is a little bit of an issue here. How is there evening and morning without a sun and without a moon? We're getting there, okay? But that's why we affirm that this is a historical 24-hour day. Verse 6, the next day, and God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky, and there was evening and there was morning the second day. And yes, pausing again, I know that there are different terminologies used for Genesis 1 verse 6, one of which is pretty much a made-up word called firmament, right? To describe a mystery word in the Hebrew language that's kind of like disc. People make hay out of all sorts of things with this. They say that the world is flat, all kinds of stuff, and that, you know, space exploration is all a hoax because you can't penetrate the firmament, right? And firmament is just a word that they came up with to try to reach some sort of compromise to describe a word that they didn't really understand. Is there mystery? Yes. Is everything with space exploration a giant hoax? I don't think so. You judge for yourself. But y'all, if it is, then, you know, what do you believe about anything anymore? But nevertheless, we're not going down some conspiracy theory wormhole right here, okay? Verse 9, and God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land and granted the waters, or in the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land bear vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and the years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living moving thing with which the water teems, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Now, that is where we stop for today, and I appreciate your following along with me. I know we've just covered a large chunk of Genesis. I want to stop with God's creation of man because that's a separate implication, and we're going to get back to that. Instead, let's focus on the creation itself. We find a few key themes running throughout, right? Several applications are available here, but it's fascinating what God has done. If you were to plot it, and I should have printed something out, what do you find? You find corresponding days, right? On day one, God creates light. Imagine it as a chart, right? You know, on day one, God creates light. On day two, he creates sky. On day three, he creates the land, seas, plants, and trees, right? So on day one, you have light. But on day four, you have the sun, moon, and stars. On day two, you have the sky and the sea. And on the fifth day, you have creatures that live in the sea and birds that fly in the sky. On the third day, you get the dry land, right? Plants, trees were created. And on the sixth day, you get animals and you get human beings. It's a staggered approach, right? Where it's corresponding days. Day one corresponds to day four, two to five, 3 to 6. Okay? And we're not even going to deal with day 7 right now. The application is this, y'all. There's lots of things that if you really dig into this, you find some really interesting stuff. Like take, for instance, the fact that God separates animals into livestock and wild animals. What does that say? I'm really not trying to pick hobby horses here, right? But the idea of veganism, okay, and let me twist your brain a little bit. Originally, Adam and Eve were not allowed to eat animals, okay? However, they would be allowed after sin, or actually Noah and his family would after the world was destroyed. But nevertheless, all of that being said, you do see this separation in the created order between animals that are wild and animals that are livestock. In other words, animals that are created for human use and consumption. Yes, that goes all the way back to creation, okay? So the PETA billboard about where do you draw the line between pet and food? Well, God kind of draws that line, though to be fair, everything is made out of meat. Anyway, that's for a different subject and conversation altogether. But you find all sorts of little interesting things like that. But the overall picture that you find, especially when you see that day 1 is linked to day 4, day 2 to 5, day 3 to 6, is created order. And this points to a reality of who God is, and something we need to remember about our God. And that is that we serve a God that brings order out of disorder, that takes cacophony, that takes nothing, that takes emptiness, and fills it. And being created in God's image, we too, though, please understand, I'm not going down the route that we're the same as God or anything like that. We do not have the power of creation or any of those things. However, realize that we have that similar calling to bring order out of disorder. Remember the calling of God's word, do everything decently and in order. We learned that from Corinthians, right? But devotionally speaking, what's the application of this? The application is, do you understand this God that has created you? And do you see where you fit? Admittedly, we're created in God's image. We're different from everything else. When we come back together on Monday, we're going to talk about how mankind is at the pinnacle of creation. However, you serve a sovereign God. You serve a God who has the power to create, the power to change, the power to intervene at all times and always. Let the God of Genesis 1 encourage you. Let the God of Genesis 1, who has such immense power, realize that this God has that same power over your life too, so that no person, no situation is ever too far gone. Do you realize who this God is? If you find yourself in the spot where it's like, oh, yeah, no, I know God created. Have you ever taken the time to consider the implications of that? We talked about the fact that he's the creator. We are the created. Therefore, he has dominion over us. But have you ever thought about the wonder that he used to create? How, for instance, God could have created a black and white world, right? He could have created two different animals, right? I mean, but he didn't. He created all of this. And why? As the psalmist says, the heavens declare the glory of God and the skies proclaim his handiwork. Again, we're going to get into this more as we go. But remember these things. And as we're going into this weekend, not knowing what everybody's going through, take heart that this is the God you serve. Our God and our Father, we thank you for this time that you have given to us, and we pray that you would bless it. Help us to remember who you are and who we are and what you call us to do. We pray it all in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I'd like to thank you all for being a part of this time. Lord willing, we will be back Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and then again Monday morning at 6 a.m. If you're local, be here. We would love to have you or be in a Bible-believing church, y'all. It is what the Lord requires of you, but it is the case because it's what's best for you, a Bible-believing church. If I can do anything for you, feel free to reach out. Take care.